welcome to another episode of the Leo Alves podcast. And just to get stuck straight into today's episode, one thing I quickly wanted to speak to you about was deep tissue massages or even any sort of massage. And the only reason why I bring this up is because at the beginning of this month, it's the 9th of February when I'm recording this at night. And it was probably the first 1 or 2 days of February, and I actually forgot to mention this to you in the last episode, but I went for a deep tissue massage, which was my first deep tissue massage since March 2020. So it was a long time. And deep tissue massages was something I used to do it maybe once every 6 weeks when I was living in London, just because it used to feel really good. I would feel like a brand new person every time I'd leave. And why did I leave it for so long? I don't know. Because the other day when I decided to, it was a very spontaneous decision. When I decided to go and get one, I left and I was like, wow, I really need to start doing this again more often. So I definitely do think deep tissue massages, for me specifically, are very underrated. Now, you might have, because obviously with deep tissue massages, it's a lot of pressure. So maybe that's not your thing. And I'm sure there is a type of massage that maybe you do prefer. And whatever it might be, I just wanted to remind you that it could potentially be something that you would do well to do, especially just because, again, you just come out feeling like a new person. And that feeling is so underrated. And this is something that I am going to reintroduce to, I think my routine is the right word. Yeah, maybe every 6 weeks, every 4 weeks, every 6 weeks, depending on how I'm feeling. Because this brings me on to the next subject, but I'm going to be undergoing like a lot more stress on my body, and I think the deep tissue massages are only going to help me, because I've recently started doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which I did mention on the last episode that I said I was going to start, and I went through with that decision. And I'd done the first session yesterday. I was going to go for the second session today, but then realized it clashed with a meeting, so it wasn't possible. And I'm just really excited to get started now. Like, the first session was a taster session, so it was free, but once it was done, I immediately signed up to just continue doing more sessions, and now I have 3 months already paid in advance, and I'm just really excited to keep progressing at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And I'll be honest with you, that first session was just me learning very basic things, and I already know what the next maybe even year is going to look like, and it's just going to be a year of me repeatedly getting my butt kicked every single time. And I think as long as I can just get through that feeling of just always getting my ass kicked and just finding my own little victories within that. And you're probably wondering, how can you find your own little victory within getting your butt kicked every single session for a year straight? Which is what is going to happen, because again, I'm a complete newbie and I'm going to be around guys who have been doing this for years, you know, guys and girls who have been doing this for years. And of course, it's going to be expected to get my butt kicked. But you know, maybe on session one, let's say it takes me 1 minute to make me tap out for more formal Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu vocabulary, I should say. If it takes me a minute to tap out in 1 week, maybe the next time I'm facing that same person, if I can hold it until 1:10, then that's already a little victory in my eyes. After that, I'll try and make me tap out in 1:20. So because I know I'm not going to beat these people, I'd be lying to myself, because, you know, white belt just going into his second week isn't going to beat someone who's been training BJJ, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, for years now. So again, that's just my little goal in my head. So I guess it's a form of progressive overload in a way, for, you know, coming with my gym related vocabulary. So yeah, you know, I think martial arts is just something I'm really excited to get stuck into, and it's just really good to be a complete student again. That's always something I'm looking for, and I find it's just to be an exciting feeling. And you know what, if you're on the fence about starting a martial art, I definitely think it's something you should go ahead with. I know I've only done one session, so it's not like I'm coming with a mad experience in this, but it's just, I feel like knowing how to defend yourself is just a really good skill for life. And it's another way just to keep yourself fit. Great physical activity. And again, it's a skill that could save your life one day. And that's something I was aware of for a long time. And for whatever reason, I just kept procrastinating and took this long to sign up with it. Whereas it was actually a thought of mine since 2021. So it's been in my head for a year and a half now. And to be fair, I did have an excuse for a while where I was living in the middle of nowhere and I didn't have access to a car. But in December, so about 3 months ago, maybe 2.5 months, I moved to Lisbon, and then I realized that's no longer an excuse. I need to sign up, and I found a place. And it took me 2 months too long, but the important thing is I've gotten started now. So I will update you with my BJJ journey over time. Otherwise, one more other random point to fill you in on. I know I've been ranting for about 5 minutes, but I do feel like these are some good points that I really wanted to speak to you about. So again, maybe full body massages could be something you think about. Starting a martial arts could be something you think about. And then a protein powder is also something. With the recovery side, because of the addition of BJJ in my schedule, which I'm going to be aiming to do about 3 days a week, alongside resistance training in the gym, which, you know what, I think once I've consistently started doing BJJ 3 times a week, every week, for maybe at least 3 weeks, I'm actually going to reduce the frequency of my training sessions in the gym from 4 times a week to 3 times a week. And that's crazy to me, because a Leo from like 2 years ago would have never have done that. I used to train 5 times a week, 6 times a week, very consistently. I would never miss a session. And now I'm doing 4 times a week, and I do feel like it's great for me. But I do think going from 4 days a week to 3 days a week, whilst I'm also doing, so I'm talking about resistance training sessions, 4 days a week to 3 days a week, whilst I'm also doing 3 days a week of BJJ, would just be a smart idea to give my body more of a rest. It's going to need that. I know for a fact, as a personal trainer, that it would be a very smart choice for me to make on my joints, on my recovery. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not an elite athlete, and I don't need to be pushing my body to its limits to the point where I could potentially injure myself. So I just don't want to overdo it. And I do know for a fact that training 3 times a week will be in my best interests. And I feel like at first that might be very weird for me, but again, I know for a fact that the body at the end of the day, all it knows is stress. It doesn't recognize whether it's work stress, whether it's a lack of sleep type of stress, or, you know, maybe you're yet to pay your bills stress, or, you know, you're at the gym stress, or BJJ stress. All it knows is stress as a whole. So the more stress you keep putting on your body, eventually it's just going to break down. So yeah, rest and recovery is definitely an important thing. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'll be still doing 6 days a week of physical activity. So it is a lot. And it's high intense physical activity as well. BJJ is intense. And it's only inspired me to be more consistent with my cardio as well. But yeah, back onto the point about protein powders. If you're not currently taking one, I would recommend you take one, because protein powder is super important for recovery, number one. And I wouldn't just recommend it to you if you are working out. Like, you can definitely take protein powder and not be working out. It's for everyone, because at the end of the day, everyone should be taking protein anyway. And this isn't me trying to sell you something either. Like, I'm not trying to sell you any specific brand. This is just me genuinely, like, generally saying you would do well, likely do well, to supplement with protein powder. Because one thing I've learned being or training, you know, running Kairos Online, which, by the way, if you don't know what Kairos Online is, it's my one-to-one online members group where I train them, personalized nutrition programs, personalized training programs. And I'll actually leave the link to inquire to become a Kairos Online member in the show notes of this podcast. But as I was saying, one thing I've learned about training so many Kairos Online members from around the world, the majority of people, not everyone, but the majority do lack in protein intake. So first of all, I would say, you know, you would want to prioritize getting your protein up from solid foods. But eventually there does come a point where sometimes it's just a little bit tough, or not every day it's just easy. Because, for example, let's say, you know, it's 9 p.m. at night, you're super tired and you've got like 40 grams left. The last thing you want to do is cook a chicken breast to help you hit that goal, whereas you could instead supplement with some protein powder. So it's more of a convenience thing as well, where all you have to do is just put it in a bottle and shake it, put some milk potentially or water and shake it, and there you go, you have it in less than 2 minutes. Whereas with a chicken breast, you're actually going to have to go out and, you know, cook it, and the overall process, depending on how hard you go on that cooking, is it could take a while. So yeah, protein powder is just a really convenient thing to have as well. And, you know, starting the BJJ, I've always had protein powder there in the house with me. I don't take it every single day. I do take it most days because, you know, my protein goal isn't going to always hit itself. And again, it is a convenient option to have, which reminds me, I do need to take it after this podcast episode. But yeah, I'm trying to buy like massive bulks of protein powder now, just because I know for a fact I'm going to finish it. And protein powder, the price of it has only gone up over the last 2 years since all the lockdowns happened worldwide. To be honest, lockdowns happening worldwide alongside loads of other global events has increased the price of a lot of stuff. But obviously shutting down the economy is going to be a massive contributor to that, for especially when it was done for like over 10 months, which was, in my opinion, quite silly. But anyway, that's for a different day. But yeah, protein powder, I know I'm going to go through it at the end of the day. So I'm just going to just buy a bigger bulk. And in the long term, I know I'll be saving more money with that. But otherwise, that is pretty much it from me for the initial segment of this podcast episode. I do have other subjects in mind that I wanted to speak to you about, and I'm going to go through them in no particular order. They're just questions I've been asked recently, so I'm going to answer them for you here right now. Again, it's another Q&A style episode almost. And the first question was, how to get more fiber in your diet? So I think that's a really good question. I do feel like fiber is something that's really overlooked in what a lot of people are eating day to day. And I feel like the fitness industry, in a way, has exaggerated this, because the fitness industry, and you know what? I'm guilty of this too. The old Leo is guilty of this for sure. Lesson learned, and you know, you go through life learning lessons, but it's so easy just to be so focused on calorie intake and protein intake to the point where sometimes you ignore other components in your nutrition. And I feel like fiber is one of those things that can easily get ignored, especially when you're just so focused on calories and protein. And fiber is important. It's something I make a conscious effort to at least eat every single day. And what I like to do, so you can do this if you want, is just try and have a fiber bomb at breakfast. And like that, I know for a fact that I've got a massive head start in the day for my fiber intake. I like to do the same with protein as well. I like to have a big protein bomb at breakfast as well. If not breakfast, then it would definitely be in my second meal of the day. So what I usually like to have for breakfast is I'll have a big bowl of oats, chia seeds, and I'll have an apple as well. And then those three individually are all fiber sources. So you put them together and you've got like a good fiber bomb there for breakfast, and that's a great way to start the day. And then you're also front loading your fiber intake, so you don't have to stress about it so much throughout the day, because you know you would have gotten a good amount at breakfast. So that is potentially something to think about. So yeah, maybe apple bits, oats, chia seeds all together. And then I like to sometimes add extras, which aren't fiber sources, but they just do make it taste nicer, which is honey, dark chocolate, and some protein powder as well. Funnily enough, I was just speaking about that. So it's just a nice way to add in some protein powder in there. I like to add vanilla specifically because it doesn't change the taste too much, and I can still taste, you know, the honey, the berries that I'm putting in, the apple pieces. Whereas like when I find I put other flavors of protein like chocolate flavor, which I'm doing right now because I don't have access to any other flavors, it can sometimes overpower the taste of the other things, which is okay, but it's not ideal for what I'm doing. Like I like the taste of the other bits of food in there that I do want to be enjoying. Anyway, so yeah, that's just something to bear in mind with your fiber intake. A little tip for you. On to the next point, which is how to be in a calorie surplus. And I feel like this is a really good question and something that doesn't get spoken about enough in the fitness industry. And the reason why I say this, like, okay, yeah, it depends where in the fitness industry you look, I should say. But when it comes to weight loss specifically, which is what I mostly work with when it comes to my Keras Online clients, not all my Keras Online clients are weight loss, but the majority are working towards some sort of weight loss goal or have been at some point in their journey. Maybe initially they came to me trying to lose weight and then we successfully lost it together. And now we're on the next point of their journey. And which is where I think this comes in, because I feel like sometimes, or what often happens with a lot of people, and I've seen this and gone through this with my own Keras Online members, is that sometimes, you know, you've been trying to lose weight your entire life and you're always trying to eat less, you're always in this dieting mindset, but eventually there comes a day where you've successfully hit your weight loss goal, and then it's like, oh, what next? Because you can't be in a calorie deficit forever. That's one thing you have to realize already there and then. And then you have to actually start increasing your calories with time, and you know, you do that alongside resistance training and progressively overloading in your resistance training workouts, then that's going to be the perfect recipe for muscle gain in all the right areas. So let's say you want bigger arms or bigger bum or stronger legs. Increasing your calorie intake is going to benefit you so much more in that part. And like, how to do it? You just do it. And I know that is not, it's not as easy as just doing it. So let's say again, you've been in a calorie deficit for a year and you've lost a good amount of weight and you're happy with how much weight you've lost. I would say transition into maintenance for maybe 1 to 3 months. So you would slightly increase your calories there, maybe by 300 or 400. And then, you know, once you've successfully maintained your weight and you've been in a good place, then I would slightly increase it again. So you would be in an intentional calorie surplus. And that's where a lot of people who have lost a lot of weight for a long time get really nervous, because they're scared they're going to regain the weight back. And I understand that feeling. I know how it feels because I've been there. And number one, I want to say, don't worry about regaining the weight. You have to increase your calories at some point. You have to put yourself in an intentional calorie, slight calorie surplus, by the way. It's not you just eating whatever and anything. It's a slight calorie surplus where you're eating maybe 200 or 300 calories over your maintenance. You're eating mostly healthy foods, highly nutritious foods. You're eating high protein, which is key as well. You're eating good amounts of fiber, and yeah, you'll be winning. And trust me when I say fat gain is going to be a huge minimum. It's going to be almost, you're not going to gain any fat really. Like, it's going to be at a minimum. What that will be ideal for though is muscle gain. And that's what we have to start. That's what you need to start shifting your mind towards. That needs to be the next stage of your journey. You need to focus on becoming a stronger version of yourself, which won't be achieved in a calorie deficit. In fact, a calorie deficit is probably like, it is not a great place for your body to be in physiologically. You can't just forever be in a calorie deficit. You need to come out of that. And again, I've seen it firsthand and I know it's tricky psychologically, but you need to realize that and appreciate that the calorie deficit version of you, where you needed to lose weight and be in a calorie deficit, which is what I should say, it's the old you now. And now you need to start going into the next chapter of your fitness journey and allow yourself to do that by transitioning into maintenance for a while and then going into a slight calorie surplus. So again, it's not like 1,000 calories over, because that would be a recipe for fat gain. It would only be about 200 or 300 calories in a surplus. It's just a slight amount that you want to be doing. So it's intentional as well. And you know what? Worst case scenario, let's say you do gain weight. Let's say you've been in that 300 calorie surplus for a while now and you put on so much weight. It's not going to happen, but let's say it does. You put on all this weight. Worst case scenario, you know exactly what to do. You know how to lose weight. You're never going to be a slave to that again, where you don't know what to do anymore because you've lost the weight before and you know exactly what you need to do this time around. So again, that's never going to be an issue again. Any weight that you gain throughout your life, whether it's on holiday, let's say you go away for a month, you go abroad for a month and you're not in your usual eating routine, you get back and you realize you've come back quite a bit heavier than you perhaps would have liked. You know what to do now. You know, you just have to be in a calorie deficit for a while and, you know, keep up all the other healthy habits that you probably were doing anyway. You're no longer a slave to that. And that is a very liberating feeling. And that's something you have to realize too. So worst case scenario, just go back into a calorie deficit after. But yeah, trust me, it's not going to happen. And being in a slight calorie surplus, you're also going to feel the best you've ever felt. And your workout sessions are also going to be the best they've ever felt. And this is also me talking from experience. I've been there, I've done that from myself and my Keras Online members. Okay, and that's going to be when you're in a slight calorie surplus, that's a great thing for your metabolism as well, because you're only going to speed it up and therefore gain more muscle in the process. Otherwise, on to the next question, which was, how do you know when it's time to change up your training? And I think this is another great question. So I would look at this in two different points. Like, there's no clear-cut answer for this. Like, I can't just be like 6 weeks and that's it. Like, there needs to be some context, that's for sure. What I would say is you would probably do well to be doing a workout program for maybe anything between like 6 to 12 weeks. And then I think within that time, it could be more of a question of, are you bored of it? If you're bored of it, then feel free to change at the 6 week mark. But yeah, I think 6 to 12 weeks is pretty good. I think another good thing to bear in mind as to whether or not you know it could be a good time to change up your workout program is if you feel like the exercises that you are doing aren't really progressing anymore, like you're having a hard time progressing the majority of them, that could be another time to change it up. But yeah, I would definitely do it about every 12 weeks, because you don't want to just be doing the same thing for ages and ages and ages. Like, it is good to change it up every now and then, just so your body doesn't get too used to one specific thing. So yeah, I would say just boredom and yeah, whether or not you're progressing in the exercises, those are things that you want to think about. You know what, it could also be worth thinking about, which I almost forgot to mention, is sometimes it's not even necessarily a case of changing an entire workout program. It could be maybe you just need to change maybe a few specific exercises. So for example, right now, one of my Keras Online members, Matt, shout out Matt. So we were talking about potentially changing up his workout program as well. And then he brought up the point that he was actually enjoying his current one a lot, and he said it was actually his favorite one so far. He's currently doing 3 full body workouts a week, and he was like, in fact, is it okay if we just change two or three exercises instead of changing up the whole thing? And I was like, you know what? Yeah, that's absolutely fine as well. That's also something I suggested as a potential option, and that's something we went ahead with. So yeah, we only changed up two or three exercises instead of the whole thing. And he'd already been doing it for at least 6 weeks. So I feel like that makes so much sense. And the reason why he chose those three specific exercises were they were just exercises that just weren't progressing very well for him at this moment in his life. That's not to say they'll never progress well for him, but just right now they weren't. He was just having a tough time progressively overloading them. So we've swapped them out for exercises that work the same muscle group, but they're just different. So like instead of a plank, we done hanging leg raises. And so it's just more or less along those lines. But otherwise, yeah, that's pretty much it from me for that subject. And then on to the last point is what to do if muscle growth has stalled. And I feel like this is the last question, by the way. So what to do if muscle gain has stalled? Great question. There's a few, again, this is just a question where it does need extra context at times, but let's say I'm going to take this question at face value, and let's say I'm going to answer it from someone who I often work with, not always, but what I often do see is someone who, the type of person who often asks me this is someone who's maybe gone through a period of where they've had their newbie gains. And by newbie gains, I mean like the type of gains that you make on the back of following a structured workout program where you know to progressively overload and you know like everything is done smartly. You're not doing things on the fly. Like it's an actual structured workout program that is working out your entire body and you are progressively overloading the exercises over time. You'll find that when you do that for the first time over the course of, you know, at least 6 to 12 months, you're going to make a shitload of gains. And there's no other way to put it. It will be a lot of gains. And what that is basically called, that process of that first year of you just working out, following a very good workout program, or it doesn't even have to be very good. Like it's just a structured workout program where you progressively overload and you're actually consistent with it. Those newbie gains, like that's what it's called. It's called newbie gains, where you just make a lot of progress within that initial phase. And then what happens is a lot of people eventually get past the point of where they're no longer a beginner and now they're in this intermediate phase where they've been lifting for a while and now they're not getting that rapid increase of strength that they initially used to get. And that confuses them because they think that's meant to happen forever, whereas that's not actually the case. Like eventually your newbie gains, they stop and your gains start to slow down. And then the amount of strength that you do gain month to month or year to year, it becomes less and less and less and less and less. And then you do find that you'll have to work even harder as you keep making more progress. And by that, I mean, like the details have to start becoming finer. Whereas maybe within, let's say that first year of newbie gains, you could just follow a structured workout program and progressively overload and not worry about your nutrition and still make great progress because you've gone from doing absolutely nothing to doing something. But once you get past that initial year, you might find progress starts to slow down and then you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. And that's where I mean, like the details start to become more important where, oh, actually you were kind of neglecting your protein intake before. Less increase your protein intake, less eat adequate or consume adequate calories, I should say, because, you know, you could also drink your calories. And then you'll find maybe with the adjustment of that and maybe increasing the volume for maybe the odd muscle group, then your gains start to suddenly just like spike again. Like you start to see more gains again. So yeah, they're basically just the longer you're doing it for, the more important consistency is and the more important those details are. So basically what I want to say is newbie gains aren't going to happen forever. And I remember actually having this conversation with my old personal trainer many years ago. So I think it was when I was like 22. So good while ago now. I was actually, when I was experiencing this newbie gains phase, like it was for the second time because I worked out a lot as a teenager, but then I stopped for a little while when I went to live in the US because truth be told, I was just too busy like partying and having fun. And I was training, but I didn't really know what I was doing at the time either. So I came back and then when I started with a personal trainer again, I went through that phase of newbie gains once again. I remember telling him eventually there came a day where I felt like things were slowing down and I was finding it harder to progress. And he kind of opened my eyes to it where he was just like, you're not going to be gaining loads and loads of reps every single time you pick up the weight like you were doing at the start. There comes a point where even half a rep is progress. So if you got 6 reps last time and this week you got 6.5 reps where maybe you controlled the weight down much better than you did the last time, then that's still progress. So yeah, even half a rep is progress. And I was like, whoa, like that makes a lot of sense. Because yeah, you can't just be making those newbie gains forever. Otherwise you'd be superhuman. You know, there would come a point where you'd be lifting a ridiculous amount of weight and you would like definitely max out all the weight in your gym and some more. And that's assuming that you go to a gym with like a lot of weight, where you have access to a lot of weight, I should say. So yeah, newbie gain phases, they're not going to last forever. And what to do if muscle growth has stalled is just to answer the question, because actually I feel like I've gone on a bit of a tangent there, is just, you know, ensure that you're eating adequate consuming adequate protein, because, you know, you could be drinking it as well. Consuming adequate protein, make sure you're in a slight calorie surplus, which, as I said earlier in the podcast episode, that is the ideal circumstances for muscle growth to occur. You're going to have a very hard time growing muscle if you're trying to grow muscle in a calorie deficit. You know, of course, if your goal is weight loss, then yeah, you have to be in a calorie deficit. But if your goal isn't weight loss and your goal is purely to gain muscle, then you do need to eat the calories to fuel that process to happen. Other things I would recommend is stimulating each muscle group at least twice a week. So right now, if you're doing a bro split, which is like an arm day, a shoulders day, a back day, a chest day, that doesn't make much sense as well. And I feel like once you get past that newbie gain stage, for the, like 95% of people, it just doesn't make sense anymore. And I would start stimulating each muscle group twice a week. So you could do upper lower, or you could do like full body sessions. So there's a few things that you could look into potentially doing. You could do lower push pull legs, so that would be 5 days a week. So yeah, just a few things to think about there. Make sure you have adequate sleep, because a lot of people just feel like this is happening less nowadays, but before, a few years ago, sleep was like, it was something that was mocked, which is quite weird to say. It was like mocked, sleep is for the weak, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And I feel like there came a point where, obviously when I was young, I was like, yeah, that's, you know, everyone just says that. But then there came a point where I actually had learned a lot about sleep, and I was just like, to me, that just sounds dumb now. Because you are making life infinitely harder for yourself if you're just like walking around chronically sleep deprived. You're probably miserable as well, because, you know, sleep is so important, not just for, you know what, not even just for health and fitness goals, just for life in itself to feel good. Like, you need to be having adequate sleep. If you're chronically sleep deprived, then you are going to suffer on the back of that. So yeah, make sure you're sleeping well. Make sure sleep quality is there as well. If you don't know how to maximize, you know, your sleep, and you feel like that is something you're struggling with right now, I do have a video on my YouTube channel where I give 6 or 7 tips, I think it's 7, about how you can maximize the quality of your sleep. So I'm going to leave the link to my YouTube channel in the show notes of this podcast episode, so you can click that and then you can just find my... You can find that video, and it will be, I'm sure you can just search it on my YouTube channel, and it will be the first thing that comes up if you type in sleep. Otherwise, that is it from me today. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. Any questions on the back of this, as usual, just fire them over on my via social media or my email, all of which are also in the show notes of this podcast episode. So you can just click those links, and don't hesitate to send it over. Rate and review the podcast already. If you haven't, drop a follow and share this podcast episode with your group chat, because you're spreading the good word like that. And there is a lot of misinformation out there, and me and you together, we can put out more valuable, good information in the world and share and spread it. And like that, you're helping both me and other people, because you're helping me and my small business grow, and you're helping your friends or your family members make health and fitness progress, which they could very well need help with, and they don't really know what to do right now. And perhaps I've answered one of the questions that they might have in mind throughout this podcast episode, so it could be good for them to hear that. Otherwise, again, thank you for listening. Follow the podcast if you're not already on whichever platform you're listening to it on. Take care, and I'll see you around.